About forgot it was an evening service. I was ready for a second song and a little bit time to relax while they gave the announcements. That wasn't so. I was pondering what I was going to bring to you this evening, and I'll knock that off for sure. And nothing was coming to mind, but I kept thinking about this little children's book that I read several years ago. And I got to thinking about a sermon that I gave back in November of 1995. That is 6:30 sermon. So I went and found it and kind of rearranged it a little bit, and it won't be the same sermon, but it'll be close. And I got to thinking about our lot in life, and I was thinking about all the problems that some of our people have been having. I was pondering on Becky Adams and her state, and Bill Mann and others that have had to go for treatments and in the hospital. And you know, I don't know if I'd do very well if I was in the same circumstances, but I think it's opportunity. It's an opportunity to bloom where you're planted. And I hope if I'm ever in the same state that I can blossom well in that situation. I don't know if I will or not. Honestly, I hope I don't have to find out. I really don't. But there's a this is a fictional story, of course. I don't want anybody to think it's true because it's about a couple of animals. And the name of it is Joshua, the Crippled Lamb. And I wish I could tell you who it was by, but I didn't write it down, and I don't know where the book's at. Lana says it's packed away somewhere, and I wasn't going to go to looking for it in stuff that we have packed away. That would have been, we probably still wouldn't have found it. Sometimes I feel like, who was it? Was it Samuel or Saul? When they went to looking for him, he was hiding in his stuff. Well, sometimes I think I could very well hide in my stuff. Sometimes I need to go through and get rid of some stuff. But anyway, once upon a time, in a sunny valley, there lived a lamb named Joshua. He was white with black spots, black feet, and sad eyes. Joshua didn't have a mom or dad, and was born with one leg that didn't work right. He was crippled. Joshua had a friend named Abigail. She was an old cow. Joshua was sad because he couldn't run and jump and play in grass like the other sheep. Abigail would always tell him, Abigail would always tell Joshua that God had a special place for him. Joshua wanted to believe Abigail, but it was hard. He always felt alone. One day the shepherds came to move the flock to other pastures and told Joshua he couldn't go because he was crippled. He was told he was too slow. The other lambs laughed at Joshua. The shepherds told Joshua to go spend the night in the stable. When Joshua got to the stable, his friend Abigail was there. Joshua told Abigail what had happened. Abigail told Joshua not to be sad and that God had a special place for him. That night, a couple came to stay in the stable. because there was no room in the inn. That night, a baby was born. Baby Jesus. The baby was cold, and while the baby's father went for some swaddling clothes, Joshua laid down beside the baby Jesus to keep him warm. God did have a special place for Joshua. And then I think of a story in the 9th chapter of John about a blind man. I'll start at verse 1. It's nothing new to you. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus said, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. And it goes on to talk about that the Pharisees didn't believe that this man was born blind, so they went and got his parents, and his parents said, No, that's our son. He was born blind. But nobody sinned in this story, not the young man that was born blind or his parents. But in verse 3, it says that he was born that way, that the works of God should be manifest in him. And you know, when I think about this man, and you know, he was born all his life up until this time. You know, and I wonder if he ever asked why. I think I would. I ask why several times in little situations that I think are bearing down on me, and they turn out to be nothing much. You know, I have a lot of why questions for God. Sometimes I get answers to them and sometimes I don't, but I try to always remember that God's in control of every situation. I hope I let Him be in control of my life. There are times when I don't. I kind of like to try to have control of my own life, and that usually turns out to be worse than if I were to turn it over to God, because He knows best. He knows the road from beginning to end. You know, sometimes I wonder, why am I down at Pleasant Hill working? I live in Oak Grove, and I worked in Oak Grove for many, many years, and because of circumstances with layoffs and retirements and not filling positions, that they shift the work around, and now I'm down in Pleasant Hill working, and I wonder, why am I down here? I don't know why, but that's where He's put me. So I hope I can blossom where I'm planted. I have to be honest with you, sometimes I don't do a real good job at it because I get frustrated, because I liked working around the Oak Grove area. It's a new area down there. I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to some of the people that I work with, and they become a trial to me at times because I'm a little bit particular about the work that gets done. But this man was blind, but he was born blind for a purpose. He was born blind that God would be glorified. Then I think of the story in the ninth chapter of Acts, where Paul was going about persecuting the church, and he was struck down on the road to Damascus and was made blind and changed his life. He became a man who, instead of persecuting and taking Christians to their death, that he became an apostle for Jesus Christ, and a very strong one at that. He spread the gospel throughout many regions of that area. And we can still have, what is it, probably 2/3 of the New Testament is letters and epistles that Paul had wrote to various churches throughout the areas. And he's still talking to us today. And Paul, as far as I'm concerned, he's still spreading the gospel in the words that we have in the Bible. But God changed him. Changed his lot in life. And he blossomed wherever he was at. Let's go to the fourth chapter of Philippians. I'm trying to keep from doing a lot of reading because I know it's been a long day and I don't want to put you to sleep. And I'm not a real animated speaker, so I don't move over here and try to keep you awake. But fourth chapter of Philippians, verses 11 through 13. Paul speaking, and he says, Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. How many of us can say that? That whatever situation that we're in, we can say that we found how to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's where we need to find our strength, when we're found in a situations that we don't particularly care for. You know, we can go to God in prayer and ask Him, you know, why have you put me here? He might answer you, and He might not. That's His choice. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And He's got another list over here in the 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. Start at verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11:23. Paul speaking again. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Quite a list. Quite a list. But he did it for Christ. He did it to further the gospel. I don't know what it would be like to have the care of all the churches. We don't have a lot, but we've got several, and they're growing, and we're having more locals here and there, and besides all these other things that he had to go through, that he worried about the churches. I hold Paul up pretty highly, not as high as Jesus Christ himself, because Jesus Christ also had something that he had to do from the foundation of the world it talks about. That he went and he preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He made the blind to see and the lame to walk. And many other things. And he knew what he had to suffer. He knew it was coming. He knew that day when he went into Jerusalem, that would be the last time that he went into Jerusalem. He even asked his father that if that could be taken away from him. But then he came to himself and he said, not my will, but thine. And he went to that cross and was crucified. He was crucified for me. He was crucified for each and every one of you out there as individuals. And he knew it was coming upon him. It wasn't a surprise to him. But he did it. He did it willingly. He didn't have to stay up on that cross, but as many people say, it's love that kept him up there. And I believe it was. He bought us back from our fallen state because of Adam. That we would have a chance to be with God for eternity because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I also think of Abinadi. Page 256 in the Book of Mormon. You all know the story of Abinadi, probably. Abinadi went to a place where a man by the name of King Noah reigned, and he was an evil king, and he prophesied to them of Jesus Christ and the things that I'd spoke to you about. He taught the people about Moses' law and about atonement and about the seed of Christ and the resurrection and the fall and redemption of man. And they didn't like it because he told them that they had need of repentance. On page 256, verse 1, And now it came to pass that when Abinadi had finished these sayings, the king commanded that the priest should take him and cause that he should be put to death. But there was one among them whose name was Ammah, he also being a descendant of Nephi, and he was a young man, and he believed the words which Abinadi had spoken, for he knew concerning the iniquity which Abinadi had testified against them. Therefore he began to plead with the king that he would not be angry with Abinadi, but suffer that he might depart in peace. But the king was more wroth, and caused that Ammah should be cast out from among them. And he sent his servants after them, that they might slay him. But he fled before them, and he hid himself, that they found him not. And he, being concealed for many days, did write all the words which Abinadi had spoken. And it came to pass that the king caused that his guards should surround Abinadi and take him, and that they should bind and cast him into prison. And after 3 days, having counseled with his priest, he caused that he should again be brought before them. And he said unto him, Abinadi, we have found an accusation against thee, and thou art worthy of death. For thou hast said that God himself should come down among the children of men. And now for this cause thou shalt be put to death, unless thou wilt recall all the words which thou hast spoken evil concerning me and my people. Now Abinadi saith unto him, I say unto you, I will not recall the words which I have spoken unto you concerning this people, for they are true. And that ye may know of their surety, I have suffered myself that I have fallen into your hands. Yea, and I will suffer even until death, and I will not recall my words, and they shall stand as a testimony against you. And if ye slay me, ye will shed innocent blood, and this shall also stand as a testimony against you at the last day. And now King Noah was about to release him, for he feared his words, for he feared that the judgments of God would come upon him. But the priests lifted up their voices against him and began to accuse him, saying, He hath reviled the king. Therefore the king was stirred up against him, and he delivered him that he might be slain. And they took him and they burned him at the stake. But Abinadi, because he knew it was truth, and to prove that his words were truth, he was willing to go to death. And there was a young man there named Ammah, who believed the words of Abinadi. And I'd have to look it up, but Ammah baptized later. He took these people, and some of the people that believed him, they would meet in the wilderness. And Ammah taught them the words that Abinadi had preached to them concerning the atonement and the resurrection and the fall and the redemption of man. And Ammah finally baptized in the waters of Mormon, and he started a church. He started a church of Christ, because a man named Abinadi was willing to go to death for what he believed. He brought many souls to repentance. You know, sometimes do y'all know who Johnny Erickson Todd is? Okay. I don't know how old she is now. Does anybody know how old she might be now? About 55 or so. Well, anyway, I believe when she was a teenager, about the age of 17 maybe, she had a diving accident. She broke her neck, and she's a paraplegic. And I heard her story on, I believe it was Focus on the Family, on a Christian radio station here in town. And she went through all these whys and how come me, and went into despair and all that. But she's got a ministry now called Johnny and Friends. And she's got a wonderful singing voice, and she goes around to, and she has a wheel, maybe it's Johnny and Friends, I don't know, she's got a wheelchair ministry also, to where she takes wheelchairs that are fixable and fixes them up and gives them to people that can't afford them. And she talks with these people about their state. And God has placed her in a place to where she can blossom where she's planted, or bloom where she's planted. I can't imagine what it must have been like. I can remember what I was like at 17 years old. I was playing football and diving off diving boards and competition and all kinds of activities. And I don't know what it would have been like if I would have ever broken my neck and become a paraplegic. You know, I don't know what God's plan is for myself towards the end, or right now, actually. I know He's got a plan for me to be a preacher and a minister. That was evident several years ago. And I don't know what His plan is for your all's life, but I know that He's got a plan for each and every one of us. And if we'll seek Him out and we'll ask Him what that plan is and be willing to follow His voice, He'll guide us in that. He'll guide us in that path. It might just be a light unto our feet. It might not be a shining beam that shines years out into the future and lets us know what's going on. But He'll guide us and He'll direct us and He'll help us to grow. And He'll help us to do what it is that He has plans in our life for. You know, I think of Job. That's where I'm going, the book of Job. Job, the first chapter. Job had a problem. Satan didn't like him. Because he was an upright man. I believe somewhere in here it says that he is a perfect man. But he was definitely a God-fearing man. But he lost everything. He lost everything. He didn't just lose it over a period of time. He lost it in one day. If I understand the story correctly, start at the 13th verse. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters, this is Job's sons and daughters, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans came out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, There came also another, and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What would you be like if you lost all that? I mean, it didn't happen over a period of time. While one was telling him what happened, another came while he was still speaking, and told of what another calamity, and then another calamity, and another calamity. But Job didn't sin. It says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I hope if anything ever happens to any of us, we can stand and say the same. That we won't curse God as others wanted Job to do in here. At the end of the book is Job. It'll be chapter 42. Verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Not only did he gain back what he had, he gained back more. Because he knew that God was in control. You know, we've got a hymn in our hymnal. It's hymn number 321. And it's titled, "It Is Well With My Soul." I should have brought the book in. I've got a book in the truck that tells about this song. But there was a man in the... He sent his wife and 4 daughters across the ocean to England to hear a couple of evangelists that he wanted to hear. And he stayed behind, and I don't remember the reason, but he stayed behind. And on the way over, the ship that they were on had a crash, a wreck with another ship, and the ship sank. And he lost his 4 daughters, and they found his wife clinging to a piece of wreckage and took her in. And as this man was on his journey over to see his wife, the captain of the ship said that we're near the same spot where this ship sank, and it was well with his soul. And we have a song that goes along with that. It is well with my soul. I've got 2 daughters. Don't know what it was like if I'd lose them both at once. I've got a dear wife who I've been married to for 26 years. Don't know what it would be like if I'd lose her. I don't want to find out. But I'm hoping that I could stand strong and that I would know that it was the will of God, and I could ask, okay, what do you have for me now? I hope I could be as strong as some of the examples that I brought out to you this evening. Got a couple more readings. One of them's on page 407 of the Book of Mormon. Start at verse 52 and read through 61. Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth and cry repentance unto every people. Yea, O declare unto every soul, as with the voice of thunder, repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth. But behold, I am a man, and do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me. That's what I hope I can say someday. Is that I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me. I had not ought to harrow up in my desires the firm decrees of a just God, for I know that he granteth unto men according to their desires, whether it be unto death or unto life. Yea, I know that he allotteth unto every man, unto me, I know that he allotteth unto men, yea, decreeth unto them decrees which are unalterable according to their wills, whether there be unto salvation or unto destruction. Yea, I know that God and evil, I'm sorry. Yea, I know that good and evil hath come before all men. Or he that knoweth not good from evil is blameless, but he that knoweth good and evil, to him it is given according to his desires, whether he desireth good or evil, life or death, joy or remorse of conscience. Now seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work to which I have been called? Why should I desire that I was an angel, that I could speak unto all the ends of the earth? For behold, the Lord doth grant unto all nations of their own... For behold, the Lord doth grant unto all nations of their own nation and tongue, to teach his word, yea, in wisdom, all that he seeth fit that they should have. Therefore we see that the Lord doth counsel in wisdom according to that which is just and true. I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory of myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring some soul to repentance. And this is my joy. I'd like to close with the 100th Psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all nations. I don't know why some suffer and some don't. But you know, sometimes I think that we go through sufferings so we can help other people that are going through the same sufferings or that might go through those sufferings. I don't know why God chooses to heal some and some he doesn't choose to heal. I don't have those answers. But I know that whatever situation we're found in, He wants us to glorify Him. God wants us to glorify Him in whatever situation that we might be found. So let's stand strong in those words. And let's continue to pray for one another.
Thank you, Mark. I sit there and I wonder what will be my answer when times become tough. And each one of us will have that opportunity sooner or later in our lives. How have you tried to teach your children to respond to that time that will undoubtedly happen in their lives? I hope you'll consider those things as you leave tonight and strive to fulfill the responsibilities that each one of us have. I want to divert for just a moment and tell each one of you what some of your young people have been doing lately. Some of us were privileged this morning to get a little card like this handed to us. And it's a very simple one, and it's has to do with Veterans Day, which is just a few days away. And the YPCL is thanking each one who has served their country by giving them a little card like this. Those thoughts don't go unnoticed, and they're appreciated. Most of your veterans don't want to be pointed out, don't desire notoriety, but by the same token, when things like that are made mention, it touches our heart. Closing song is number 323. But before we sing it, I want to remind you to take notice of the prayer list that's in the bulletin and be diligent in prayer for those that are mentioned there. Our sister Janice Welch thought maybe she'd get to come home today, and they didn't let her out of her confinement yet. They need to work on balancing her medications. And, of course, our sister Becky Adams, she needs our prayers desperately. So I ask that you remember those two as well as all the rest that are on that list. Number 323.